Monday, June 19th, I'd set the clock for 7:30, but alas for my failing eyesight. It must have been 6:30 because that's when it went off. So I got a rather unwanted early start on the day.
It came in handy.
A few minutes later, Simone called me and told me that Lennon would be speaking on TV at 8:30. We kept to the legal speed limit, and so it was in his little boyhood home in Johnson City that I listened to his speech on the Middle East. At first, I thought it was too measured, slow, deliberate. It needed more drama and fire. And then, close to the end, when he pounded home the fact that the parties to the war must be the parties to the peace, that the future of the Middle East must be made in the Middle East and not planned and imposed by some outside power. And that came through loud and clear, and I decided that it was really an artistically done speech. I thought he looked strong and reliable, like a leader. You couldn't have asked more of the lighting. Then I drove on to Johnson City, where Neva met me a little past 9, and we spent a day of decorating, making much progress on the rooms. We moved our bridge table and 2 folding chairs from my room to Lyndon's room to the sitting room, giving her my ideas on rugs and drapes and wall treatments, and clarifying my own as I went along, learning from hers, changing some, getting surer about others, and finally deciding that it would be a good thing if Neva, we could spend a couple of hours with Herbert Wells in his shop, selecting fabrics that interpreted my heart's desire. A decorator is a relation not unlike a maid or a doctor. You have to know a person well and rely upon them and be in tune with them. And that doesn't happen overnight. You have to know how they live. Neva knows us well. She was a great help. We barely stopped for lunch, and then we disposed of a few pictures, and about 3 o'clock she left to drive to Houston. And then I set off for the old Bailey house, which now sits in a grove of trees in the Reagan, sparsely and coldly furnished and inhabited by some of the military. My team of Mr. Klein and James and a pickup truck full of paintings went along, and we hung and looked, and with their advice disposed of about 7, thereby brightening up the old place, along with a few colorful bedspreads and plans for some pin-up lamps above the beds and floor lamps by the chairs. I was back at the main house a little before 6, got in touch with Dale, and rode with him in his pickup truck to Johnson City on one of our flower missions. I'd seen a good stand of gallardias in a field that belonged to Mrs. Lee Green, just on the outskirts of Johnson City. I'd called her and asked her if she minded if we harvested some of them, telling her the process by which we'd done it before on our place. She said she would be glad to share, so Dale and I were going to make arrangements for him or Melvin Sutermeyer to harvest them in a day or two. I wonder, there were several carloads of tourists stopped at the old graveyard and in front of the house where Lyndon was born as we passed in the pickup truck. They paid us no mind, of course. I wonder if they would have been amazed if they had seen the first lady riding along in a pickup with a foreman. I think not. Dale gave me the news, not surprising really, that blue bonnets were $7.50 a pound. Usually they're between $2 and $3.50. This is the mark both of the increased demand and of the short crop. I told him to order 50 pounds nevertheless. They'll probably give him a slightly better price since we're such old customers. And then I rode on into Lucy's, arriving a little before 8. We had a dinner date with Jesse, Lucy and Pat and Joe Batson and I. We were to meet him at Steak Island, which turned out to be a charming place right on the banks of Town Lake, with a table by the window where there was a good view of the blue hills and of the Capitol, and unhappily over my shoulder a very bad view of automobile tires and tin cans washed up along the shore. Our job is cut out for us here at home. Earl and Wheezy Deeth were with us, and it was a happy evening with a delicious steak and gay, easy company. This is the 8th night of my stay here in Austin, and what a really pleasant time it has been, doing necessary work that I like doing the day and not hurrying about it, and feeling that my forever home will be the better for it. And then at night, sitting around Lucy's kitchen table for a good dinner that she's prepared, or going out to some of Austin's delightful places, like this one, Steak Island, or Sunday, Lakeway, or just young bloods for fried chicken. There's been more real visiting with Lucy than I have had in years. How easily I could slip into living here. It's like the Lotus Island. I would miss the sharp stimulus of Washington conversation, and I might become slothful, but I think I would enjoy it. It's like swimming in warm water. Joe has been here since Thursday night. Such a comfortable person to have around. Everybody relies on him. I talked to Simone, and she sounded beat. The press had been following Lucy all day, taking pictures of her wherever she went. To the grocery store, the veterinarians, the drugstore, even into KTBC, where Pat had glowered at them and asked them if they had business there. As for Lucy, she was the least worried of the lot. Her description of what happened was really hilarious. Finally, she turned to one of her followers and said something like this. Look, I know you've got your job to do, and I know you've got your orders, and I'd be the last one to tell you that you can't do 'em or to try to stop you, because that's not my place. But I think we could get the sort of picture you want, and I could go about my business in peace. If you just tell me when you're ready, and then get a couple of pictures, and we'd both come out better. She said the young man's jaw dropped over, and he looked at her in paralyzed amazement and stammered and said, I've got my job to do. I've got orders. And she realized he hadn't heard a word she said, so she went over it again. And then, incredulous, he said, you mean you'd let me take a picture of you picking out some of those cans of food or something? Yes, she said. So they did, and he went away happy. Unfortunately, he was succeeded by two others, and she had to go through the same process all over again, wearier this time, and they were a little more cynical about the whole thing. She lives with it with grace and good humor. The same cannot be said of all the Johnson family all the time. They're early evenings here, and I like that. We're back at Mackin Street a little before 11 and to bed, where I'm reading myself to sleep with Tom Wolfe's Of Time and the River. I have been strangely cut off from the swift rushing stream of life in Washington. It's been a time and a pleasant lake, a back eddy, insulated, calm, aware of the crisis in the Middle East, but not caught up in it.